This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. A controversial appeals court decision in Boston is pitting claims of academic freedom against the vestiges of Northern Ireland's sectarian struggles.
Here's the background. Boston College has housed the oral histories of top IRA and loyalist figures who gave their stories to researchers on the promise the records would remain confidential until their deaths.
But British police, investigating a decades-old murder, want access to some of those stories now. The resulting legal fight has tested the limits of academic freedom in the face of overwhelming diplomatic pressure from America's closest ally.
So last year, a U.S. district court judge ordered Boston College to turn over the records. The researchers themselves then sought the right to appeal the ruling on their own. The First Circuit Court of Appeals heard their arguments in April. Outside the courtroom, Carrie Toomey, wife of one of the researchers, spoke of the high stakes involved.
This is not just the papers in the library. This is my life, my children's lives, my husband's lives. All of the people that bravely participated in this project are at risk.
At risk, she says, former Irish militants who consider participation in the Oral History Project a grave violation of their code of silence. Well, on Friday, the First Circuit Court upheld the lower court's ruling, and the researchers may have to turn over those materials in a matter of weeks. WBUR's David Boeri has been following the story. He's with us now. Hi, David.
Hi, Anthony.
So give us a sense of why the First Circuit denied the appeal.
It was pretty straightforward. The court ruled that the two researchers who sought to be heard in this case have no constitutional claim. According to the court, they have no First Amendment basis to challenge the subpoenas. And that was the majority.
So that's it. And so what kind of reaction are we getting to this? It's an unusual and somewhat dramatic case.
Oh, absolutely. These are high stakes. This is not parlor game questioning here. We're talking about people's lives, really. And that's certainly what the researchers say. The U.S. Justice Department, not surprisingly, was pleased with the reaction. It had argued that the mutual assistance treaty between the United Kingdom and the United States creates, and I'm quoting here, no private rights for individuals. So what they had argued, their lawyers had argued at the hearing, is that there should have been no expectation of protection by anybody involved in this project, the Belfast Project. They had also argued that our Constitution does not protect non-citizens from outside the country from third parties who may do them harm as a result of testimony. Here's one of the researchers, Ed Maloney. He was the director of the Belfast Project before his falling out with Boston College. The court has said there is no constitutional First Amendment right here.
Which raises a very interesting point, because if the FBI slapped a subpoena on you, you would have the right to go to court and challenge that. When the UK government, under the terms of this treaty, snaps a subpoena on us via the U.S. government, we don't have that right.
So that's Ed Maloney, who is the director of the Belfast Project. So he's been told he doesn't have the right to appeal. So what's his next step? What can he do?
No, what they're going to do is they're going to appeal and ask for a hearing en banc, which means a hearing before the full Court of Appeals. And that's what their next step is going to be. They are seeking status because the judge in this case had ruled that their interests would be presented by Boston College, and that would be expressed by Boston College. They'd have the same interest. Well, it turns out that's not the case whatsoever, so they need standing.
So my understanding is the researchers, as well as some Boston College faculty and others, argued that this was a key matter of academic freedom, akin to reporters protecting their sources.
Absolutely. Right? That's right. That is the claim, the strong pressing by attorneys, by the researchers themselves. And this is part of the falling out with Boston College, is that Boston College decided not to fight. It's been accused of institutional cowardice here, at least in one matter, the matter of Dolores Price, who is suspected to have, and this is what's driving it all, an IRA convicted car bomber who was suspected of having murdered a woman, the mother of 10 children, who was outed as an informant for the British government. So Boston College decided they would give that up. They would protest on other scores. People, the researchers themselves, who were outraged by this, called Boston College more like chickens than eagles. And here is Harvey Silverglade talking about this matter of privileges.
You've got the privilege of scholars to not be subpoenaed for their work notes, and you've got the rights of the people to whom the scholars made promises. So there are multiple layers of promises here that the court was being asked to recognize and protect, and the court failed to do so.
So that's Harvey Silverglade, civil rights attorney in Cambridge. David, is there any chance the material won't be turned over?
Well, one of the concurring judges, of the three judges, expressed some concerns here, and this is what Silverglade gets to in looking at what they've done. He sees that he's claiming that, in fact, there is a 1998 case which this Court of Appeals ignored, and it similar in many ways. Microsoft wanted to subpoena two academic researchers for a book that they had written. They wanted the materials, and the judge denied their subpoena. That's a precedent within the First Circuit Court of Appeals. Also, Silverglade points to the 1972 Supreme Court decision, which recognizes there is somewhat of a reporter's privilege, and that's what he sees their chance to overturn this. But it's an uphill battle at this point, and at the end of it, if they lose, all those records are going to be turned over to police authorities in Northern Ireland.
You know, David, it's ironic talking about this story now, just a few days after former IRA leader Martin McGuinness shakes hands with Queen Elizabeth, a sort of sign that these sectarian struggles are long behind us. But here we are in Boston dealing with a fallout of this right now.
That's right. And when you realize that the Queen here is when you realize that it was her cousin who was blown up by IRA bombers, you realize just how much progress is being made. And yet here we have this what looks like retroactive battle. Again, it reminds us, though, on both sides, that people who talk to police, who gave up secrets, were generally either threatened with murder or actually murdered.
WBUR's David Boeri, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
You can always leave us a comment, by the way, on anything you hear at radioboston.org. And coming up, the case against the local food movement, why one economist and geographer says eating locally is actually a step backwards. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.